Good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Marisa DeMarco, a reporter here at KUNM. A year ago on this show, we devoted the hour to free stuff, resources, and events that don't cost any money. We talked about how you can check out a Wi-Fi hotspot from the Albuquerque Public Library, a ukulele, a cake pan, even zoo passes. And today we're back with more free stuff. We want your tips. What are your favorite no-cost public resources or programs in New Mexico? Just like last time, we're making a list of everything we talk about and hear about from you, and we'll post it on our website at KUNM.org. We want to pool our knowledge. What do you know about free stuff, or what do you wish were free that isn't? Join the conversation by calling 277-5866. You can tweet us, too, with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. There are some restrictions on public radio, so for folks calling in, we cannot talk about prices today for anything. We're only talking about things that don't cost any money at all and never do and that are open to the public. Victoria Cisneros is a professional boxer and fitness trainer. She got her start at a community center in the San Jose neighborhood here in Albuquerque. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
Tell us about the Jack Candelaria Community Center and how you started boxing.
Well, you know, long story short, I was very young. I had my son when I was 16. I was very overweight. And there's a community center down in San Jose. It's 400 San Jose Avenue, you know, down in Albuquerque. The community's good. What I lived in the neighborhood, and what got me in boxing was just had a hard time in life, you know. Started off young. I had so much anger in me, and to take that anger otherwise, I started boxing and cut weight, and, you know, and it helped me a lot. And I met a trainer through the community center, and he asked me, you know, you hit pretty hard. You know, you're pretty good. And I was just like, nah, I just do it for fun, just trying to cut weight. And he asked me if I, you know, was interested in boxing. And I said, well, no, not right now. I have a kid. I'm trying to, you know, do what I have to do. And then he was like, okay. So I kept on training. Then, you know, one thing led to another. And I'm just like, you know what, why not put my anger, put my, you know, it was a hard life for me at the time, you know. I dealt with abuse. And, you know, you just find yourself putting it somewhere else. And I figured instead of doing drugs and other stuff, why not put it on boxing? And then I started working out there. And then my son, he got bigger. And I just started working him out, you know, my daughter also. And, you know, I just got just in the family. And I just started working out at Jack on the Line. It's a very free community center. They have a daycare. When my son was too small, I couldn't take him in there with me. They have a daycare for the kids that you know, it's an all-day program until like about 5 that you can leave your kid there, and, you know, they have people to work with them, play games with them. So I would leave him in there. I would go work out. And then it got to the fact where I just involved him, you know, keeping him busy, keeping his mind, set in a good area, and just started training with him. And then other kids from the neighborhood, either their parents were on drugs or, you know, just, you know, weight fitness also. They asked if I would help them out. And then I just motivated myself to put money into it for myself, for the kids, for free. And just, you know, purchase gloves and do what I had to do to help them out. So now I train kids, you know, just for the fun of it, to keep myself busy. Right now I'm pregnant and I'm 7 months, but I still do it. I still work out every day. Mm-hmm. And there's no, like I tell people, there's no excuse. Either you want to do it or you don't, you know. I tell a lot of people also, I'm not handicapped, I'm pregnant, you know. Because, you know, like, you can't do that, you know, it's not a good thing, but doctor says I'm fine. It's 7 months and I'm still at it. So
it sounds like the childcare was a big help in getting you started.
Especially towards the beginning, because it was free. And then, you know, me being a single parent trying to pay for the childcare, it was hard. You know, it's like I was just working for that. So when I heard that, it was even better. I live around the block in the neighborhood and it was, you know, free. And they had to pay nothing. They even gave them food, snacks. I didn't pay for none of that. So,
You became a professional boxer,
yeah.
Right? So tell me about some of the people that you fought.
Well, I fought Holly Holmes, Altiani, and Zafalt Cheval Hallback. I have 33 professional fights. I fought over 20, 22 ex-world champs. I've been to New Zealand, Denmark, Germany. I've traveled the world. You know, I've done my toll, you know, and just due to the fact of anything's possible, you know. People say you can't do anything, and I just try to benefit the kids. And actually, I work at Albuquerque High. I'm an EA, and my beneficial to there is my son. He's a senior this year. But what motivated me to work there was tell the kids, you know, there's no excuses. I was in high school. I was pregnant. I worked. I had a full-time job. I did what I had to do. So it's up to you, you know, if you want to put your mind and you know, everything good where you want to, you can do it. You just have to, you know, push it. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter, you know, how poor or how rich you are. You could do it, you know.
Yeah, I was surprised to learn that there was a community center in Albuquerque with three regulation-sized boxing rings that people can reserve without paying a fee, but it's been around a long time. Yeah. Who else has come through there?
Yeah, well, Johnny Tapia, Bobby Foster, those are big fighters come out of there, and I know there's upcoming fighters like a very good person, Fidel Maldonado, Diamond Boy, Josh Pitbull. Those are professional fighters here in Albuquerque that use that community center that you could go and, you know, see their train, you know. And I'm pretty sure if you ask them advice, they're willing to help anybody out, you know. It's like I said, it's a community center and everybody's there. And, you know, you see different, you even see some MMA fighters. I remember back in my days, that's how I met Holly Holmes, was I went there and she was working with some people there. I don't, you know, I don't really remember how it started up, but that's where I met her through. And then, you know, I ended up fighting her. So little by little, you know, you meet people, you see things. So, yeah.
Do you think the Jack Candelaria Community Centers had a real impact on the neighborhood overall?
Oh, definitely. Because due to the fact, you know, back in the days when I was raised, it was a lot of drugs, a lot of, you know, stealing and stuff. But due to the fact how it's a city community center, you go, you give your input, you call the 311 number and you let them know if you have any problems, and police gets down there and they'll resolve it, you know what I mean? Even though it's free, they do have beneficials, you know. You see once in a while, even I've seen cops work out there. So they just keep their eye open, and you know what I mean? And if there's people that shouldn't be in the gym, that, you know, you have an identification card that they give you. If you want to go in, you have to sign up, register online, and you have to check in. It's not just anybody goes in the gym. You have to, because as soon as you walk in, there's a door in the front, and they have a check, you know, make sure who's there, who's not there, and if they seem that something's wrong, then they'll tell you to leave or whatever the situation is.
But they prioritize people in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah, and they even have cameras, you know. Mm-hmm. From my understanding, they have cameras in and outside for the kids and for everybody's property. So, you know.
Yeah. Josh Herbert is here from Albuquerque Parks and Rec. Good morning,
yes.
Josh.
Good morning.
So you've worked out at this community center. You've checked it out a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. My boss within Parks and Recreation, he is, his name's Brandon Gibson, and he's worked with a lot of big MMA fighters. And he just, you know, we were free on, he's really good at kind of taking out of the work and kind of having a little bit of a break. And so he brought me over to Jack Candelaria Community Center, wrapped my hands, lent me some gloves, and showed me a few combinations and sets. And we worked on the bag and the speed bag, and he actually got in the ring. And when we walked in, there was this giant guy. He was probably like maybe 6'5", and he walks up to Brandon and he said, "Hey, you want to spar?" And they just get in the ring, and Brandon just showed him who was boss. It was pretty cool to see. So definitely a lot of fun. I grew up across the street from Pat Hurley Park and Pat Hurley Community Center. That's where I spent all of my summers, and it was so great. It was such an awesome resource because it was free. Like, my parent, we lived in not the best neighborhood, but we had so much fun because so much was put into that community center there that there's a lot of opportunities for us, and I I have three other siblings, and we spent the summers at Pat Hurley Park. So the city community centers are an excellent resource. There's so many throughout Albuquerque that people should take advantage of.
Yeah, and I've heard about, you know, I hear about programs for young people over the years, and maybe it's hit or miss. Some of them sound fun, some of them maybe don't sound so fun. But boxing, it seems like boxing would resonate. Do you find that there's a lot of interest, Victoria?
Well, be honest to you, boxing, everybody thinks about hitting each other, but you don't have to hit each other. Boxing is a good a way, because I used to weigh 230 pounds, and I got all the way down to 130 doing boxing. It was just cardio, you know, hit the bag, You know, they even have a Jack and Alea treadmills. They have a little bit of weight machines. Not the best, but, you know, it's something. It's, you know, it's free. And be honest to you, anybody could do it. I don't care. There's a lady that worked out with me, and she was, like, in her 60s, and she still boxed. And I see older people that box. So, you know what I mean? Age is the limit, you know? It's all up to you. It's look at Pacquiao, well, he's 40 and he just got off of a win with a 20-something-year-old. So, you know, talking about age, it's really up to you if you're willing to, you know, sit in there and do what you have to do.
Would you have ever imagined that you were going to be a boxer? Was that on your radar?
No, I'll be honest to you. I was, you know, I was in banking. I did banking for a couple years, and, you know, I had my son young. I just wanted to get a career, get up there. But be honest to you, I rather put anger to the best, you know, of knowledge than put it on the streets. And I tell a lot of kids, Wi-Fi for free, you know what I mean? You know, everybody pulls guns and all this stuff out, but that's ridiculous, you know? You know, do what they used to do back in the day, put your hands out, you know? And it helps, too, because I see a lot of young kids at the park, and they talk, oh, this and that about so-and-so, they want to fight. And I'm like, go to the gym. You know, put on some gloves, put on a headgear, and prove yourself in there. It's a whole different rate, you know? And then they're like, oh, yeah, that's true. You know what I mean? They think they're all bad, but when they go in there, they ain't got nothing. So it's kind of, it's funny. And then they're like, hey, can I train with you? And I'm like, all right, you know?
Yeah.
But I let them know that if anything happens outside and I find out, then they can't have my benefit. And then they're like, oh, all right. So they know, you know, the consequences. So that's good, too.
Yeah, so do you see it, like, really help?
Oh, yes, it does. Yeah. It makes them think as adults, you know. They think and they're like, you're right. Why do I even, you know? I wish back in the days they had the fight night, you know, where as long as you weigh in and become, you know, make the same weight and stuff, you know, take out your anger in there. You have an enemy and go resolve it in the ring, you know. Mm. Put it to something good instead of, you know, bringing guns, because here in Albuquerque, violence is bad. And you tell, and I tell kids, and I tell my son, like, you know, you don't need a gun. You shouldn't go that way. So it's tough.
Yeah.
Especially here.
And it's maybe a way to channel some of that.
Yeah, it is.
So Hugh Hulse is here from the Esperanza Bicycle Safety Education Center, where he's the manager. Good morning, Hugh.
Hello.
So free bikes down at Esperanza and helmets even, right? For anyone? Tell me about it.
Yeah, so we're a nonprofit bike shop. I mean, I'm sorry, not nonprofit, but non-retail bike shop that is run through Parks and Rec. And we are there to help anyone who walks in our door become more comfortable on their bike, to help work on their bike, both working on the mechanical side of it so that their bike is safe and easy to ride, but also learning the skills that they need to be able to be safe when they're out riding on the street or on the trails.
And what's your goal? What's your goal down at Esperanza?
Honestly, I just want people to be as comfortable on their bike as they can possibly be and be able to do whatever they want to be able to do on their bike. And I really like bikes, and I want other people to be able to like them too.
So if someone's got a bike in the garage and maybe something's wrong with it, the wheel or the brakes, can they take it down? Can they bring it through your shop?
Yeah, so we're open to the public on Sundays from noon to 7. And on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that's what we call open bike clinic. So you don't need a reservation or anything. You just show up with your bike. We put you on a repair stand. We help help you diagnose what's going on with your bike. And then we'll walk you through how to repair it. And the only catch is you do the work yourself.
All right, we're talking about stuff that doesn't cost any money, resources, events, activities. We want to hear from you. What are some things you and your family use all the time? How do you spend a day with your kids without spending cash? Did you know about these free bikes or this boxing gym? Is there any under-the-radar free stuff around your neighborhood? Let's pool our resources today. Give us a call at 277-5866. Tweet us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. We're going to take a quick break.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Representing Native American tribes, people facing criminal charges, civil rights plaintiffs, and victims of sexual abuse. Info at RothsteinLaw.com.
Support comes from Cowboys and Indians Antiques, presenting the 21st annual charity Great Southwestern Antique Show at Expo New Mexico, August 3rd and 4th, with an NMPBS sneak preview on Friday, August 2nd. Tickets at gswevents.com.
Composer Matthew Jackfort spent 6 months in the seaside city of Qingdao, China. When he returned to this country, memories of the waves and wind and local culture stuck with him and inspired this piece, On the Shores of Qingdao by Matthew Jackfort, on the next Performance Today from APM.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm your host, Marisa DeMarco. We're talking about finding ways not to spend money. Like, for instance, checking out that Spider-Man-shaped cake pan from your public library instead of heading down to a big box store to give a corporation more of your cash. We want to hear about everything that's free, free to use, free to do in your community. Call us at 277-5866 or tweet us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. We got an email from Tanya who says the No to Be Gay Foundation has been hosting a number of free events this summer for Native youth. They have a free basketball clinic coming up next week that's all day with lunch included. And we've got Hugh Hulse here from the Esperanza Bike Shop. Hugh, do you ever hear from folks who don't know how to ride bikes, and how do you help them?
Yeah, so there are a lot of people who never learned how to ride a bike, and unfortunately right now we're not set up to be able to do teaching on that level where we take people out and teach them how to ride a bike. But there are some tricks that we've learned over the years that work really well for people. And one of those is to turn your bike into what we call a balance bike. And so if you take the cranks off of it so that you can just put your feet on the ground and scoot around on it, your body figures out how the bike moves under you. And then once you've gotten to the point where you can glide around and balance on it, come back by and we'll help you put the cranks back on and you can start pedaling.
Awesome. And Esperanza does bike valet sometimes for no charge too, right? What's bike valet?
So a bike valet is a way that we can go out and support people using their bike to get to and from large public events. So one of the biggest ones that we do is the 4th of July out at Balloon Fiesta Park. And so that one has several hundred bikes will show up for us. There's also a big bike valet for Balloon Fiesta, and that one's run by Bike ABQ, which is a local cycling advocacy group. What a bike valet is we just set up a whole bunch of stands to hold onto the bikes, and we have staff out there. And you ride up, we give you a claim ticket for your bike. We take the bike and store it for you. We watch it so it's safe. You go do your thing, come back, give us the claim ticket, we give you your bike back, and you're able to head on home.
And Summerfest, too, right?
Yes.
And there's a couple of those still coming up.
So we actually have one this weekend. The Summerfest down in downtown will be at Civic Plaza, and we will have a bike valet out there.
Great. Josh Herbert here from Albuquerque Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Good morning again, Josh.
Yeah.
So you work in the aquatics division.
I do.
What's usually free there?
So for all the pools, we've got 12 different pools throughout all of Albuquerque. And Sundays, they're absolutely free for children. So families really take advantage of that free Sunday, looking for things to do before the week starts. And that Sunday opportunity is really great that people do take advantage of that. Also, all of our splash pads, we have 4 different splash pads throughout the city, and those are absolutely free. So they can spend time at the splash pads and cool off. It gets really, really hot during the summertime, so splash pads are a good place to be. And we started about 2 years ago, we started not
charging anything. It got more and more popular, and people definitely take advantage of that. Also, I work for Parks and Recreation. So Aquatics is just a division of Parks and Rec. And we've got so many free things across the city within Parks and Recreation. And we've got 289 city parks, which, of course, parks are free. And with everything from soccer fields, bocce ball, handball courts, basketball courts, we also have playgrounds. That I've got two daughters, and we explore, we make a challenge of exploring on the weekends different playgrounds we can go to throughout Albuquerque. There's 170 playgrounds that we can choose from. There's a lot of really awesome playgrounds with shade structures and really great opportunities to get out of the sun. We've got also 145 miles of bike trails throughout the city. So Hugh is here to teach people how to use bikes and how to fix up their bikes. And the Parks and Recreation has these bike trails that you can get to work in a safe environment. And we maintain the North Diversion Channel trail and the Paseo del Bosque Trail. And there's a lot more things that we can talk about if I can.
Yeah, sure. I want to return really quick to swimming, though.
Yes.
There's Summer Swim Clinic, right? Uh-huh. And that's over now.
Yes. So in the East San Jose neighborhood, we have the East San Jose Swimming Pool. And this summer was the first time we put together a swim academy, and we noticed how that pool didn't really fill up for swimming lessons very often. It wasn't the most popular pool, so we thought, why not get together, reach out to some of these Title I schools, and offer free swimming lessons for those who would like to learn how to swim. And we start at ages 5 years old and go all the way up to 14 years old, because we know that's the best thing that we can give to the community is teaching people how to swim. It's going to save their life one day. And we know the importance of that. And we know that it can be a challenge sometimes to register for those programs because they can be expensive. So that's why we offer this free program at East San Jose. And we're going to continue to do that every summer.
You're part of a multi-agency task force for ditch and water safety.
Yes.
How can people make sure their kids are comfortable in the water?
So there's a lot of open water around Albuquerque. You have the raging Rio Grande River. You've got the Tingley Beach, and that's not the best place to swim. We've got all these pools available, and I'm part of a multi-agency task force where we partner with the Bernalillo County, the fire department, sheriff's office, and AMAFCA, and we print up to 70,000 free swim passes. And we distribute those through sheriff's office, Bernalillo County fire departments, the city of Albuquerque fire departments, the police substations, and people can go and pick up a free pool pass and go swim for the day at one of our pools. So we try to promote people to swim and play in a safe place rather than going to an arroyo or a ditch or the river or the Tingley beaches.
And just kind of get used to being in the water.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So Open Space Division has tons of no-cost stuff too, right? What's rolled into Open Space?
Open Space is probably offers the most amount of free stuff. They never charge anything for their programs, which is pretty remarkable. And the list of things that they do on the weekend there's something going on out of the visitor center every single weekend. So we have hundreds of miles of trails in the foothills, in the Bosque, in the Petroglyph Natural Monument. And I personally spend my weekends, my evenings, my lunch breaks. I run a lot, and I run in the Bosque and take advantage of all of those free programs. Why pay a gym, you know, $50 to $100 to $150 a month, instead just go running for free, which is awesome. I'd like the citizens of Albuquerque to take advantage of all of those trails. Albuquerque is a wonderful place to live if you like the outdoors and you like to really go on adventures and really be one with nature. So Open Space Visitor Center is off of Coors, and it holds hundreds of events, including moonrise concerts. That includes the next one this Saturday, August 10th, featuring award-winning local music CW Aeon. Classes about insects, classes about composting, beekeeping, and wildlife native to the Middle Grand Valley. That's all free. We also have rotating art exhibits that people can go to for free and see those local artists, including this weekend's opening of The River, the Ocean, the Sea, which features local artist Nick Taro Jr., opening reception from 2 to 4 p.m., and that's at the Visitor Center as well. And then lastly, we have these really cool packs. It's the Family Nature Clubs. It offers we offer it to kids and families, and it's a way to get out and explore nature, and they get these packs that have different tools in there, like binoculars and cameras, and they can go and explore, and they have maps, and you can go on these self-guided hikes throughout the Bosque and throughout the foothills. And more on that, you can go to our website, Parks and Recreation and News. It's City of Albuquerque. It's Launching Family Nature Events is what they can search for.
And speaking of backpacks, there's a school supplies drive happening right now at all of the city's community centers. And on Sunday, August 11th, people can pick up free school supplies and backpacks. And there's free haircuts there down at the Alamosa Community Center. And that event is called Cruising Into the School Year. We'll post that link online. Last time we did this show, we talked a lot about public libraries out here and all that they offer beyond books, including internet access, even seeds for gardeners and baby showers for expecting moms who might not have a lot of friends or family in Albuquerque. We've got all this info on our website. We're going to take a call now from Ellen in Albuquerque. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to give you two different things that I do that's free. Anyway, mm-hmm. I'm part of a poetry group, and we just... What we do is at North Domingo Baca, we do poetry readings, and that is so much fun to do. And then mm-hmm. there's another thing, too. Every Monday at First United Methodist Church, they do what is called Grace Meal. And what that is they feed the homeless and other things. And you can, even though my husband and I are members, we go down and eat. And, you know, it's free. You get a hot meal and some music and stuff like that. So there you go.
All right. Thanks, Ellen. In Albuquerque, we are looking for all your tips, listeners, for free stuff, for stuff that doesn't cost any money. Give us a call, 277-5866. Or do you have a question about whether a program or a service exists? We've got experts here in the studio who may be able to tell you. And if not, we'll look it up for you for sure. Give us a call, 277-5866. We want to hear about free resources all over the state. We've got Jackie Devine on the line. She's the trending reporter and pulse editor for the Las Cruces Sun News. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning.
All right, so we're talking about some outdoors activities here in Albuquerque that are a cool way to spend the day without spending any money. That's big down in Cruces too, right?
Yeah, so Las Cruces is well known for our outdoor activities. There's tons of things that you can do in Las Cruces outdoors that, of course, are for free. One of the things that you can do here is, of course, hiking. There's plenty of hiking trails here in Las Cruces. One of them is called the Prehistoric Trackways National Monument. So there you could explore the monuments, and it's really fun for kids that get to enjoy the footprints of dinosaurs that once roamed the earth millions of years ago. And you could even take home all the fossils that you find.
So wait, you're like hiking among dinosaur footprints? Is that right, Jackie?
Yes, yes. You really have to do some exploring once you're up there. I've done it myself not too long ago. So if you are a fit person, I mean, it should be easy for you. But if you're someone like me who isn't really that fit, I mean, it could be a little bit hard, but it's a lot of fun. You have to, like, go out and scout for these fossils. But there are out there. You have to search really well for them. But yeah, if you do find any type of fossils out there, you get to take them home. So it's really cool.
What else can people check out without having to pay anything down where you are?
There's also, besides hiking, there's also the Las Cruces Farmers and Crafts Market, which is really popular. During the summer, they have evening farmers markets from 8 5:30. It's in the evening from 5 p.m. To 7 p.m., I believe, and then also on select Saturdays. So at the farmer's market, it's really fun. There's tons of vendors, handmade products, produce, live entertainment, and, of course, local food trucks. And it's really fun for the whole family to enjoy. And that's in downtown Las Cruces at the Plaza de Las Cruces. So it's a really great area. For those that don't know, downtown Las Cruces has really blossomed a lot over the past few years. There's tons of restaurants and cafes and a lot of really fun attractions in downtown Las Cruces. So the Farmers and Crafts Market is the perfect location to go and just have fun and look around, and well, plenty of things to see and buy as well if you want to, of course.
And a little north of you in Ruidoso, how could you spend some hours even if you don't have any cash?
So in Ruidoso, of course, Ruidoso as well is known as a tourist place. There's tons of things that you can do out there, like hiking as well. There's tons of beautiful trails that you can go hiking, mountain biking, and also go horseback riding. There's lots of trails that are for free that you could just go out there and you know, enjoy the beautiful scenery that Ruidoso has to offer. There's also lakes there that you can enjoy and, you know, just chill out by the lake. There's Grindstone Lake and Alto Lake that tourists and, you know, visitors can enjoy as well. So there's just plenty of things to do in Ruidoso. Also, Sutter's Drive is known for having lots of really quaint boutiques and shops and wineries. Lots of things to see in downtown Ruidoso. So Ruidoso is a great place to do all things like that for sure.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to us this morning, Jackie. Diana Delgado and Witzel Bennett Perez are here from the City of Albuquerque's Cultural Services Department. Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
So there's long been this conversation in Albuquerque about how there's just a dearth of things for young people to do. That's a gap folks have been identifying since forever. How are you all working on that problem?
Yeah, so we've been working on this program called Teen Nights, which is a program in the summer every Friday from 6 to 9, and that's open from 12 to 19-year-olds. And so we've had a couple of teen nights already that have been really big successes. Our last big success was at Explora, where we had, was it over 500? People show up, or like youth show up, and that was like amazing turnout. And it's so good to see like so much youth showing up in Albuquerque and having a good time. Our next one is actually this Friday, end of summer bash at Los Altos Pool. And so there'll be the pool there, food, games, and, you know, a really good time for, you know, youth to come and have fun in a safe environment.
And you theme these events, right? Like, so there was a soccer one, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So Teen Nights is actually a multi-department effort. It's through Youth Connect. So Josh, sitting right next to me here, is also part of Youth Connect. So it's Cultural Services Department, Parks and Rec, Family and Community Services, Transit,
Senior Affairs.
Yeah. We love Senior Affairs. They have multi-generational centers, so that's why they're in the mix. And so, yeah, we have different themes for each of the teen nights. What we did last summer is we just tried it out. We just tried hosting events specific for teens, checked in with how we did. And then after the summer, we did some focus groups with young people to see the types of things that they wanted to do or things that they would be interested in. And so this year we decided to really come back together and hit it really hard with the suggestions that the teens gave us. So soccer, 3v3 baseball tournaments. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about the sports ball, but teens do. They love it. We're doing so many cool things. Crafts night at the Albuquerque Museum. Something else they said was everybody, adults do wine and paint night. So we're doing coffee and paint night. Again, specific to teens, so you have to be 12 to 19 years old to attend.
Mm-hmm. Witzel, you're a teen. When you're helping to plan these events, what kind of considerations go into making sure it's, like, actually fun?
Yeah, so the first thing I think is, like, will I go, right? Is it something that I'll go to? And then I have a younger sister back home, and she's 16, and I'm always thinking, like, oh, is this something that she wants to go to? Mm-hmm. And, like, would she tell her friends about it? And then it's like I'm thinking about how, you know, everything looks, if it like looks like a fun time, you know, with social media now, we can advertise it through social media. And with that, like, does it look like something that teens are going to want to go to? And, you know, I think food is important too.
I feel like
this compared to last summer, it was just a tip of the iceberg. Mm-hmm. And it was a really small turnout because we didn't have the tremendous support from our youth. So this year we got our job mentor program involved, and we have youth interns that are helping us with our social media platform and helping us spread the word. And last year it was adults trying to organize teen nights, and now it's teens organizing teen nights. Mm-hmm. So we've given them the power to organize those events, tell us what they want. And the events, I remember last year we had the pool party, and I think we had maybe 40 people there. And this year we had close to 300.
Yeah, we 300 were teens. At capacity for that pool. So it was really exciting. Yeah. And talking about tips of the iceberg, we literally had an inflatable iceberg there, and it was so cool to see them climbing and flipping all over that thing. It was pretty neat.
Yeah, so everyone take note. If you want the event to be cool for teens, ask some teens to help you make the event, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're talking about what costs $0.00 today, about the free resources or activities or events that help your family and your community. This is Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Marisa DeMarco. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
A year ago, it looked like Oklahoma's Bacone College had seen its last graduating class. But now, thanks to charters from Oklahoma tribes, the school has a new vision for its future with a new focus on the arts. On the next Native America Calling, we'll talk with the college's leaders about what's in store for this historic institution.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Next time on Living on Earth, a look back at the environmental work of folk music legend Pete Seeger.
I'd thought the main job to do was help the meek inherit the earth. But I realized if we didn't do something soon, what the meek would inherit would be a pretty poisonous place to live.
I'm Bobby Bascom. An afternoon with Pete Seeger. That's next time on Living on Earth from PRI.
Wednesday mornings at 8 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Marisa DeMarco, and today we're talking about not spending any money. You know that feeling when something you expected to pay money for turns out to be free? We're talking about all the things that are free out there, and we want your tips. Let's pool our resources today. It's our second ever free stuff show. And a quick reminder, public radio has some restrictions. We are not talking prices for anything. We can't do that. Only about stuff that's 100% no cost. What do you think should be free that isn't? Or have you made use of these programs we've been talking about today, like the Esperanza Bike Shop, the open space programs, the Parks and Rec, the teen nights, the Jack Candelaria Boxing Center, community center with a boxing gym in it? Or have you not found out about those programs? What's cool and free out where you live in the state? Give us a call at 277-5866. Tweet us with the hashtag Let's Talk NM. Okay, so Diana Delgado and Witzel Bennett Perez, we're talking about how the events have become more popular, and a lot of that has to do with having teens pitch in on designing the events so that they seem fun. What else do you think is a factor in why the events are reaching more folks?
Well, I really think a big part of it is also just letting teens have the voice to market it the way that they want to. So using Instagram, posting on Instagram stories, making it fresh and exciting for teens. And I really do think that getting that youth input at the end of last summer was so beneficial to making this year even more successful. And as Josh mentioned, just really, we got so many interns this summer involved in helping planning, staffing, even managing some of the events. Last week's was at the Chemo Theater. They took over the chemo, a teen takeover, and they planned the whole event. And they figured out who to staff it. They managed people. They really pulled the whole thing together. It was really incredible.
What kind of feedback did you get in your focus groups?
In our focus groups? Mm-hmm. So they like video games. They like food. They like sports ball a lot. They wanted music. They love music. They love access to the arts. They love being able to express themselves. And then something else that was really interesting is they like the zoo is so cool during the day, but it would be way better at night. Like, they love being able to go places that it's normally restricted. So keeping a pool open late and getting to hang out in a swimming pool, a city swimming pool while the sun's setting, super neat.
Why do you think it matters to create these kind of teen-only events or these spaces for teens?
Yeah, so I think having these spaces only open just to teens, right, so 12 or 19-year-olds, allows teens to be able to, you know, feel like they have a space of their own and a space that they can express themselves and, you know, be there. You know, of course, we have, you know, chaperones there, but they're not under, like, parental, like, supervision, right, and they're not being, like, someone's not looking over their shoulder. They don't have like a little sibling holding onto their hand the whole time. You know, it's a, you know, we're giving teens a place where they feel trusted, respected, and that they can express themselves and, you know, have a good time.
Yeah. You've got another project coming through that's for everyone, not just for teens. You've got some light-based artworks coming to the city, right? Tell us about
that. Yes. So, we've been working on an initiative through our public art division here at Cultural Services called City Bright. And what that is it is going to be 5 site-specific light installations. So we had an open call for artists. Artists submitted their proposal. And the one rule was that the light had to be one of the main elements used in their piece. And so I'm super excited to announce that next First Friday, so that would be September, the first Friday in September, those pieces are going to be installed and up, and people are going to be able to walk through downtown and be able to see those pieces of artwork. And it's twofold, because not only is it super cool and interesting and pretty to look at, but some of them are actually engaging. Some of them actually ask you to engage with them in a deeper way than just visually. I'm not going to give away too much now. You're just going to have to come the first Friday in September. But it's also increasing public safety, because I live downtown and sometimes it is so dark walking home in the nighttime. And so it's going to be so nice to just have not just more light, but art that is also light and helping my walk home be safer.
Yeah, and First Fridays are a free thing that everyone can participate in.
Yeah, First Fridays. So tomorrow's a First Friday. So not only is it a teen night, but it's also First Friday. And so that is something that is free. And you can find out more information about other free events in the community at Cultural Services puts together a free community events calendar. And so it's not just city. It's stuff going on throughout the community. And you can find this calendar at cultureabq.com. And we make a new calendar at the beginning of every month. And if you have free events, you are more than welcome to submit them to abq.com. And then they may or may not make it on the calendar. Sometimes there's just so many free events going on in the city, we just don't physically have enough space to put them all on one calendar. But tomorrow is a First Friday. And there's tons of stuff going on, specifically downtown, so many galleries. There's also an event called A Living Archive of Urban Indians. That is a free live performance that's starting outside of the Chemo Theater at 8 p.m. And it's completely free. All you have to do is show up to the side of the Chemo Theater at 8 p.m. and you will be, it's a walking tour through downtown that is also a live performance.
All right, we got a call from Tilla in Albuquerque. Good morning, Tilla.
Hi, my name's Talia. I'm calling because I wanted to recommend the South Valley Aquatic Center just recently opened up a splash pad for families and children. And it's not exactly free, but I've heard that the rates are really reasonable. So this is a great like summer activity for kids to go cool down in these really hot temperatures. So I was just calling to make that recommendation on your show.
All right. Thank you, Talia. And I'm sorry I mispronounced your name.
Oh, no worries. Thank you so much for having this forum.
Yeah. Jessica Ansures is the news director at the Carlsbad Current Argus. She's joining us by phone this morning. Good morning, Jessica.
Good morning, Marissa.
What free programs or events have you personally found most useful in Carlsbad, either as a resident or as a reporter?
Well, there are tons of wonderful things happening in our community, and the beautiful thing about it is that we are moving towards being an arts and culture district that provides family-friendly events, and many of those are free, and it's just a matter of showing up and taking advantage. For example, we have every year the big Carlsbad Cavern Fest, and it's a music festival. It's open to the public. There's tons of bouncy houses for the kids, games. They hold a volleyball tournament, and it's all free. And, you know, when we talk about things to do in Carlsbad, we always talk family-friendly. So that's one of the beautiful things about our area here is, and I would invite anybody who's interested in, you know, figuring out what's coming up in Carlsbad to go to the Carlsbad Community Calendar. You can find it via Facebook or online at creativecarlsbad.org. And it just lists all of the events that are happening every weekend open to the public. So, you know, as a resident, that's what I'm looking for, is a great time on the weekend, somewhere to take my nieces and my nephew to participate and to really become really a part of this community.
What's been useful to you individually? What's a recent thing maybe that you participated in that you liked that was didn't cost anything?
Well, there is an ongoing effort to rehabilitate an old theater in Carlsbad. It's the Cavern Theater. Mm-hmm. And it's a really amazing, you know, community effort. And recently they held tours of that theater. So you could go in and really see the progress that was happening. And that was accompanied by an open-air free concert, too. So items like that are always big draws for our weekend here. And I can say that being in the newsroom, we hear a lot about here are things that are happening in our community, and not all of them are always accessible, but I think we do a really good job of trying to get the word out and let people know that all of this is happening in central Carlsbad. So it's really, you know, a short drive away because we're really rural here, so sometimes it can take a bit of a drive to be able to participate in things. But part of that downtown region is also it incorporates our public library and our arts museum. And those two are really great resources for our community as well.
And the current Argus newspaper puts on some events itself too, right? That people don't have to
pay
for?
We do. Yeah, sometimes most of our events are surrounding items or projects that we're working on. For example, we're working really hard right now on a piece we're calling Waste to Water, which really explores how we're recycling water in this region particularly, because we have a big oil and gas economy, and we're in, you know, part of the desert, and water is a precious resource to us. So we really want to dig in and talk about what does that mean, how do we be good stewards of that resource. So we're working on this project, and it's part of it is inviting the public in to a forum, to a space where they can talk freely about their ideas on how to preserve water, what their thoughts are on use of water, projects that we might put into place, standards, that type of thing. So every now and then we'll have items like that where we invite the public into the newsroom and ask for them to tell us the news. It's a bit of a different approach, but we really enjoy it. And I think the residents in Carlsbad and Eddy County, they find it useful to really become a part of the reporting.
Yeah. And you participated in a Citizens Police Academy, right?
Did, actually. That was one of the funnest things that I've done. When I moved back to Carlsbad several years ago, I was a junior reporter, and I was covering crime in courts, and I was really trying to get a better handle on what do cops do in our community. You know, we see them driving around in their cruisers, and we only get to interact with them when they give us a ticket. But Carlsbad Police Department does this really wonderful program called the Carlsbad Citizens Academy, and it's an 8-week program. It's free, which is also great, and they invite members of the public to come in and learn about what they do. So they host it in the police department. You spend an hour or two interacting with everyone from the custodians in the building to the detectives on the second floor, and you really get a feel for who are these people, you know, what do they do to serve our community. I found it so useful that I always recommend it to anyone who comes into town, anybody I meet, and all of my reporters have taken it, and we get a good laugh because part of the program is that they show you what it's like to get tased. So I never got tased. Wow. I volunteered for it, yes, but they didn't. They didn't choose me that year. But every year, they take a few brave volunteers. So you really get the immersive experience, most definitely. And it's a great resource. I think it connects us to those lawmakers in our community, the people who are there to protect us. And it really opens up a lot of avenues to become better at helping create safe spaces in our community.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Jessica Ansuras.
Appreciate it.
All right, so I'm gonna throw this question to Hugh from the Esperanza Bike Shop. Hugh, why does it matter that we have public resources like these?
Well, for one thing, it's really important for people to be able to go out and try all of these different activities because, you know, the more we all just do what we do, the less we see other people and get to know what they're all about. So if you've ever had the thought that you want to try mountain biking and you're interested in earning a bike, you know, come talk to us and we can give you the details. Or you want to work on swimming, or you're really interested in what goes on with First Friday. You know, these are all resources that we should all take advantage of and just spread out.
And Victoria, what do you think? Why do free public resources matter to you or out where you live?
Well, due to the fact that, you know, trying to make a living, a lot of people don't have money and stuff. Everybody thinks that you're staying home, you know, but you could go out in the community, you know, spend time with your kids. I learned that a lot, you know. You have to, for you to be a good parent or any kind of parent, you have to, you know, give back to them and let them know how much you care. And sometimes it's not about money, you know. Giving them a pair of $300 shoes or whatever, that's ridiculous, you know? Make them work for it, or you go out with them and, you know what I mean, experience stuff, you know? Let them know how much you care, because sometimes money's not everything, you know? It's all about what you put into it. And I learned young, due to the fact that I was a young mother, it was hard, you know, not being able to give them what they want. But, you know, being there and supporting them and doing what I had to do is the best thing I could give them. And to me, boxing is like a, you know, it's tough love with my son. I taught my son, you know, you want to have a mouth like that, we could both get in the ring. My daughter too, you know. But it's all about how you care and giving him that advice and telling them.
All right, we're coming to the end of the hour today. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk New Mexico. Victoria Cisneros, professional boxer and fitness trainer. Josh Herbert from Albuquerque's Parks and Rec. Hugh Holtz from the Esperanza Bike Shop. Witzel Bennett Perez and Diana Delgado from the Albuquerque Cultural Services Department. Jackie Devine of the Las Cruces Sun News. Jessica Ansuras from the Carlsbad Current Argus. Thanks, everyone. Lots of people do good work out here and offer free services and programs, and I am sure we didn't get to everything. So if we didn't mention something you think is useful or you'd like to be included in our list online, email letstalk@kunm.org. We're going to post links to everything we talked about today, and we've got last year's list for you too. If you missed any of our program or if you'd like to share it with friends, the audio of this show will be posted to our website, kunm.org, where you can also find previous shows. Join us next week as we continue our series on recovering from addiction with host Hannah Colton. We'll focus on kicking opioids. Thanks to Marino Spencer, our engineer today, Taylor Velasquez and Bryce Dix screened your calls, Hannah Colton produced, May Ortega live tweeted the show, and Elaine Baumgartel is our executive producer. I'm Marisa DeMarco. This is KUNM.